right. So if you are a regular listener to the show, you'll know that I'm a fan of true crime. I'm also a fan of podcasts. And I recently discovered a new true crime podcast. And it is hosted and created by twin sisters Rebecca Blackstock and Rachel Kissinger, who also love true crime stories, but ones with a plot twist or a shocking turn of events that happens. I don't even know how I discovered them, actually, but I have been absolutely obsessed with their podcast, which is called People Are the Worst. For the last 2 weeks, it's become my guilty pleasure. I listen in the car. I don't take them to bed with me because I don't think that's necessarily a good thing, going to bed off the back of a true crime podcast. But I listen in the car. I listen when I'm making supper, and I absolutely love them. And so many of you had messaged in when I first mentioned and said, "SJ, what's the name of that podcast?" And I spoke to them. Did a quick interview with them in the week on Zoom, which you'll hear in just a second. But interestingly, since I did mention them on air, their South African listenership has spiked. So that's good. And hopefully it'll spike a little bit more after you take a listen to this. My conversation with the twin sisters, co-hosts and creators of People Are the Worst, the true crime podcast by Rebecca Blackstock and Rachel Kissinger. Where did this come from? Where did the idea, because The World and His Wife wants to do a podcast, and it's 9 times out of 10, it's a terrible, awful idea, and it's obnoxious. But you've managed to do it in a way that is hilarious, informative. Where did this, whose idea was it? Who's going to take credit?
I don't remember exactly which one, but I'll take credit. Rebecca did.
I really don't think, I actually do think it was me. I don't know though. I don't remember. People are the worst. So we've always been into true crime, and we were very early adopters to the whole true crime genre when podcasts became a thing, you know, 10 years ago. And we really liked how conversational a lot of our favorite podcasts were, how unscripted, casual, they're having a conversation. And then as they got bigger and bigger, like a lot of these podcasts, they started losing that kind of spark. And so we just always talked about, like, did you see that Dateline last night? And we would just have a full-on conversation on the phone about it. And then one day, I don't know what made us do it. We were just like, should we just try to start a true crime podcast and, like, go back to what we loved about true crime podcasts? Of, like, yeah.
And
you know, just having
natural.
A combo.
And then we went to high school with Natalie Holloway, who went missing in Aruba. And that really piqued our interest. And it's just been our passion, literally.
Yeah.
Ever.
Just seeing the investigation, being really close to it and, you know, knowing the family just further. We were like, this is so this just sense. Seeing it unravel. Yeah, it's just interesting.
What was really interesting for me was, and I think I'm sure that people have done profiles of like who the people are that watch and listen to true crime TV shows and podcasts. And it's basically us, middle-class women of a certain age. And it's us. We're like the feeder zone for this kind of thing. So you must have known that you were going to have an audience, right?
No,
we weren't sure.
There are so many true crime podcasts out there.
Yeah.
And two women talking about it, nothing new.
So we honestly weren't sure that we would. And it was slow at first. Like, we would tell our friends, but even some of them aren't really into true crime. And I'm like, you don't have to listen. It's okay. Like, it was just fun. And then bless TikTok, for the love of God. a post went viral and then a few more did. And like, that is probably 90% of our growth is 100%.
Just what is your download rate? Like, how do you know how popular you are at this point?
Last month we reached 1 million downloads all time, but we average around like 130,000 a month. Mm-hmm. It's wow. Good. I'm like, we're very happy.
It's so
with
excited.
It.
I remember being like, I can't wait till we have 100 downloads in a month. Like at the very beginning, being like, all right, we got 50 downloads this month. Oh, I can't wait to see 3 digits.
The very first TikTok post that went viral, like a couple months after we launched, was when that girl in Poland thought she might be Madeline McCann. I'm sorry. Oh my gosh. And I did a post on it. And I remember being like, because TikTok's so hard. I mean, I don't know if it's because I'm almost 37 years old, but TikTok, it takes me forever to do a TikTok.
I can't.
So my kids, I can't, it's so hard. And so my kids were napping and I did a post on that. And I remember calling Rebecca and being like, I just wasted an entire nap, or I should have been working on my story. And I did this post and I like bitched to her for a little bit. And I looked at it and I was like, oh my God, it's at 500,000 views. And then I was like, it's at a million, 12 million. Like, I was like, oh my God. And I remember my husband and I were going on a trip and I was sitting in the airport in Seattle, Washington. And I was like, oh, we have 4,000 downloads all because of that post. Like, that is, wow. We were so excited. My husband was like, 4,000 this month? I was like, yes.
I do listen to you in the car with my 15-month-old son and my 4.5-year-old daughter. And very often she'll say, Mummy, the lady said a bad word again. And I go, yeah, she did. Which, for those who aren't yet listening, who will be by the end of this interview, what you've done is really clever, because you, I mean, there's so much crime in the world, but you have zoned in on stories that have a twist. I drive around like this, mouth wide open. Some of the twists are just absolutely mind-blowing. So why did you decide to add that as your element, your kind of gimmick?
When we were thinking about, talking about starting the podcast, I thought back on what I loved about true crimes, and I could remember every single story that had something about it. I remember where I was, what I was doing, my mouth wide open. It could be years past. I'm like, oh, I remember that episode of whatever it was episode 116. Oh my God, this guy did. And I just remembered it. And I was like, and we were talking about that, how great it would be to like have a, you know, some sort of element, a shock factor, tell only those stories. Cause
it's just the interest factor is when you, there's something you don't see coming or something very bizarre that, and we, like Rebecca said, I remember those episodes too, of like me pulling into my old job at episode 3 of S-Town, if you've ever heard it, the very last second of it. And I threw the car into park and I just like, I sat there for a second because I could not believe what just happened. We wanted to emulate that with every single episode. Yeah. And we also started listening to, again, some of our favorite podcasts back in the day. And I started being so critical of how they're telling the story. Like now I almost can't listen to true crime podcasts because I'm like,
I know.
Why would you say that there? I'm like, so
right. They give it critical. Up immediately. They give
and
it
they
up
give up the like, crazy part in the first sentence. I was like, oh, you could have dropped a bomb. Yeah. And we just kept talking about stuff like that. And I was like, listen, that's our thing. We have to do like these weird, didn't see that coming moments. That's what we really look for, because that's, we are our listeners like that. I want to talk about what I want to hear.
So when I'm listening and I wonder like how formulaic you are in terms of like as a fan, I'm so fascinated by how you do it. I mean, do you literally, I know sometimes you refer to pages like, oh, I'm only 3 pages in. And I'm like, I really like, have you literally sat there and written it? Because also your mom's, and I'm like, when do you do this? When are you like, are your kids just locked in a box in the corner? What?
Yes. Yes, they are.
Yes, they are.
No, it's early mornings. I woke up at 4 a.m. to start my next story.
We have a lot of 4 a.m. mornings. And yeah, we really, we type them out. I would have to, because you get, even if I'm trying to summarize, I'll tell my husband, I'm like, let me tell you about my next story, because he doesn't listen. And I can't off the cuff tell a story like that. I really do have to like concentrate.
Yeah. Look at this.
But we are very conversational. That's why it's important for us to be like, you know, yeah, I don't like a script. Prepared.
What do your listeners tell you your appeal is? Because like I said, like I want to go to the accent thing. So where are you guys originally from?
Birmingham, Alabama.
Birmingham, Alabama. Alabama. Okay, so Courtney Cox, that's my frame of reference.
She went to our high school.
I love a Southern accent, to the point where sometimes when you're talking, I'll try and say a word the way you say it. I just love it. So for me, like, it really stands out. I'm so used to like a British American or a British accent or a very kind of middle of the road American accent or a South African accent, but yours are so distinctive. And I'm telling you now, it's like, it's such an appeal. It's so lovely. It's just lovely to listen to. What also is lovely is that you also have like quite dark senses of humor, as do I. So that immediately appeals to me. You know, you're very natural with your language, so you will drop an F-bomb every now and again. And you're twins. Folks, if you are just joining us, I'm talking to Rachel and Rebecca, who are the creators and hosts or co-hosts. They each host, so co-host, host of the People Are the Worst podcast, which you will, if you've been listening into the show over the last few weeks, I've been talking about sort of ad nauseum, but I just wanted to get them on because I just love the podcast.
Some people are like just blown away by how Southern we are. I'm like, we are?
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
I don't hear it.
So
really are, but it's lovely. I absolutely
love it.
No, I really, really
thank
love
you.
It.
By the way, I'm about to buy your book. I have to read it. Oh
me
my
too.
Gosh, your story
oh,
is incredible.
Thank you. Oh,
your story is incredible. Yes.
How do you? The other thing that you do, the other thing that, and I don't know if this is like real or for the podcast, is that the premise being you don't each know the story that the other's going to do like that. You don't. You try not to be aware of it, and sometimes you'll say, "Oh, hold on, I think I know this one." And you don't, or you do, but is, I mean, that's got to be hard.
It is hard, but well, people have been the worst for many, many decades. And there are tons of stories out there. Like, so we do try to tell lesser known cases for sure. I mean, you're not going to hear us talk about Ted Bundy, Charles Manson, any of that. Although I'm sure I've covered some European cases that everyone's like, over there, everyone's like, we already know this one.
Yeah, never mind.
Or Ken and Barbie murders. Canadian listeners were like, you told the Ted Bundy of Canada. And I'm like, I know, I'm sorry, but apparently not everyone.
A lot of people don't know it.
Yeah.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And we do have a running iPhone list. We have a shared note to list out who we're going to do. And like, oh, I came across this story randomly and dibs. Like I'll say, Rebecca gets to tell it. So in case she does come across it, she'll exit out. So that's how we try to like not know it. But on occasion she'll see
it. Every once in a while we just know the story. But we really, really try not to.
Yeah.
Right. Rebecca just covered Tabo Bester, and how funny that you had emailed it to suggest it. I was like, we're literally recording that in an hour. That is so interesting. And I'm sure that's an example of like everyone in South Africa knows that story.
No, we're just mildly obsessed and bewildered that this could even go on. If you're just joining us now, we're talking to Rachel and Rebecca, who are the creators and hosts of People Are the Worst podcast. If you're a fan of true crime, please, please, please check it out. I have a rule with you guys is that I don't take you to bed. I'm sorry, but I can't take Rachel and Rebecca to bed with me because I won't sleep at night. I listen to you exclusively, as I said, in the car with my two innocent young brains, my two innocent young children. What you manage to do so well is that before you start with a story, you'll have a little chat, and that's how we get to know you. And I think that's why so many people stick around, because you're so funny. You've got such a obviously being siblings and being twins, you've got this rapport that just works so well, so that by the time 5 minutes can go by and you guys have been shooting the breeze about your lives or your kids or the dog or the whatever it's been, or going to Europe or whatever, and then we get into it, and it really feels like, and in doing that it feels like we're all kind of sitting in the room together, just like, okay, right, now tell us the story, Rach, or tell us the story, Rebecca. It's just fantastic. The other thing that you managed to do so well, and I know it's not going to be everyone's cup of tea, but it will be for those who have a dark sense of humor. You managed to be, I don't know how you do it, you managed to be respectful of the victims while also being hilarious. How do you manage to be respectful? Because at the end of the day, there's no such thing as a victimless crime. The crimes that you're talking about are often, like, they're bleak, some of them, but you manage to bring humor in, but you still manage to do it respectfully. I don't know how you manage to do that.
That's the biggest compliment, first of all, is that, like, I'm glad that people recognize that we do not laugh or make jokes about the victim or usually their families or anything. If the criminal is an idiot, they're going to get made fun of. That's just what's going to happen.
All our jokes tend to be around the idiots who commit the crime.
Yes.
And involve them that way.
Yes. And that was one of the things way back in the day with early podcasts that we liked about it, was it sounded like you're just sitting around talking to friends. And that is how we talk to each other. And that is how we banter with each other. And so we bring that into every episode, at least try to, if it feels natural. Sometimes I'm like, I'm just not in my game. I'm not really in a good mood. Like, and we just, whatever's natural, but 99% of the time, that's just how we are with each other. Uh-huh. So we like to bring our real personalities into the podcast. And it is certainly not for everyone. We do get plenty of comments of like, how disrespectful, you're giggling. And I'm like, if you listen to it, though, we're making fun of the criminal. And I don't feel bad about that.
Yeah.
How,
I was going to ask you.
I mean, Yeah. How I look at it as I'm telling my sister's story and there are just thousands of people eavesdropping on us.
Yes.
That's just how I'm going to talk to her. I'm going to say sarcastic stuff. We've even gotten in fights on air and our producer has, our editor has to edit it out, of course.
Yeah.
Like, we get like,
it's very natural
with each other. It's very, we have a very natural banter or, and we get hyper and we say sarcastic things and talk crap about the murderers. And that's just how it goes.
You have a rule that I'm so relieved that you have, and that is no kid murders.
Yeah. So
there have been a couple. I mean, of the nearly 100 plus, I can't even remember how many we're at now, but there have been a couple. But I was so relieved when I heard that, because I'll be honest with you, as a mom, like before I became a mom, I had such a strong stomach for anything. I really did. Like I grew up on, I was going to say I grew up on Dharma and Bundy, but I mean, that's where my fascination with this kind of thing really began. You know, John Wayne Gacy, I'd be looking at this stuff when I was like 13, 14, had no business doing it, but I really had a strong stomach. And in fact, it's almost like the gorier, the better. I was desperate to know the details. Even, you know, and I wouldn't discriminate. It was just like, it was all fascinating to me. And it was about the psychology of what makes people do the things they do.
Yes.
As soon as I became a mom, I was like, I don't want to hear anything about anyone harming a child losing their life. I don't want to hear any of that. So that just comes as such a relief to me.
Yes.
Absolutely. And first and foremost, I did notice the three men you just named were all Americans. So what does that say?
Yes. What does that say about us? So that was, and that was my hard, fast rule that I think I even said on episode one. I have strayed a little, only if we do a child crime, it's never the main caregiver. I can't stomach that. It cannot be a mom hurting their 2-year-old. Not happening. And I really skirt over the details of the crime itself. Like, I don't want to hear about the, I'm squeamish anyway, for the most part.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear the details of that. It will usually be because something is insane with the court case, the investigation, the trial, something happens. If you hear me talking about a child, there's something crazy in the investigation.
Yeah.
Or my very first one, it was surprise. The child was fine. So so I've strayed a little bit. Like, someone did comment, like, I can't handle the child stuff. I was like, we really don't do it much. And if we do, it is light. We do not go into those details.
Yeah.
Because I agree. I mean, we have a 5 and 3-year-old and she has a 2 and 9-month-old. Can't do it.
Yeah, it's just there's something, and it sounds so odd to say that, like in a true crime space, but it feels like that's a safety mechanism. You know what I mean? Like, it's a safe space. I mean, you're still talking about awful killers and murderers and things, but with it, at least there's that tiny corner of safety that I know I can be in, where I'm not going to hear, not going to hear anything awful. What's the plan like going forward? I just love the idea that you get picked up by some network and they're like, right, we're going to give you your own show. Where do you want to go with it? Because it's already grown exponentially beyond what you had envisaged at the beginning. So is the world your oyster? Like, are you dreaming big with it?
Yeah, very much.
What was the last part?
Here is making me really excited. This whole conversation.
My last part was, are you making money?
So we are now, we did sign with the network who is putting ads in. Very exciting to have ads. As a listener, I know y'all don't love it. So we do make a little money from that, but that's new. Like, we haven't even gotten a paycheck yet.
Yeah.
But they send us kind of updates, so we have an idea. Through that and our Patreon, where you get bonus episodes, we have a $5 a month tier and a $8 a month tier. $5 gets one bonus episode, $8 gets 2 a month. So that and the Apple subscribe, they get the bonus episodes too. So we do make some money off that.
We do hope to increase that, people, patrons and Apple subscribers. I would love to increase bonus episodes a month. We do still have our corporate jobs though. But the grand picture, I don't know, sky's the limit. I would love to go on tour. I would love, I mean, look at, I think My Favorite Murder was the first duo to do this and they started their own network, podcast network. They're huge. Yeah. I'm like, ugh, the sky's the limit.
Sky's the limit. We applied to be at CrimeCon, which they have not. I think we're rejected, if we're being honest. They haven't gotten back. But, you know, just getting out there, continuing to grow it, hopefully do it full time. And yeah, just sky's the limit.
I know this is a really unfair question because it's almost like asking you to pick your own child. But is there a story, which I could, no, I couldn't do that. I'm joking.
I was just about to say I could do that.
Yeah.
just kidding.
Ask it.
Is there a story for you? Do you each have a story that was either your favorite to tell and see the other one's reaction to how mad it was, or just one that just can, that you really enjoy doing or just blows your mind?
I was really excited to tell Rachel about Paul Fronczak, the boy who had three identities before the age of three. I just got chills thinking about it.
I was on the edge of my seat.
I mean, it just kept getting crazier and crazier. And then I was like, so he found out his name is that, and he has a twin and she's missing. And I was like, oh my gosh, when I came across that story, I was flabbergasted.
That
was fun. And because it's not, and it's, everyone probably expects like a hardcore serial killer murder type of whatever. And it wasn't that. It's just a, whoa, this happened. And it's crazy.
Yeah. In general, I was the most looking forward to recording the Natalie Holloway series just because we worked so hard on it and we knew we could provide like a personal insight that not everyone knows. So I was really excited to record that. But in terms of telling Rebecca's story, I think the first one that came to mind that I knew you would A, not know, and B, definitely not know the twist was Natasha Ryan.
I knew that was going to be it. Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Missing again, 14, but it's okay. Can I give it away?
Yeah.
Missing, 14 years old. There's a serial killer on the loose who was convicted of all these other ones. They were certain she was one of his victims. He admitted that she was. They go to court. Her dad's sitting in the front row and like eyeing this guy. 2 weeks into the trial, the prosecutor runs and gives the dad a phone and he picks it up and she's, hey dad, it's Natasha. I mean, it is the, and she had been gone for 5 years. It is the craziest story. I was so excited to tell it. Mm-hmm. And she's alive and well.
See? Isn't it like, those are my favorites also, like the survivor story. When you do a survivor story, that just, it's, and you throw them in to the point where like, you know, when you're kind of going, people are the worst, and they are the worst. And then you go, but people are also badass.
I know.
Like, it often makes me think that, like, I know it's going to sound really kind of like trite to say it, but it gives me thought of like, God forbid anything ever happened to me and I was in a situation like that. The things that people have overcome, the things that you can do when you are put under it. It has also made me a completely paranoid, crazy person in that my neighbors went away. My neighbors went away for the weekend. They didn't tell me that we're quite close, and they went away for the weekend and they forgot to mention it. And in my mind that night, I was like, okay, so what if though they're like in their house being kidnapped, or they're in a box somewhere? So I had to like phone and check, and they were fine. They'd gone away for a wedding. But it does make you a bit like, sometimes I have to go, right, no Rachel and Rebecca today, SJ, because you become so, because you're telling this crazy stuff, you start thinking that every single person is, you know, a person of interest.
It's just so dead on, because I'll tell you, I cannot tell you how many of these 4 a.m. mornings I have where I'll be walking and I can see my neighbors, like when I'm walking down the stairs, there's a window, and I've seen every once in a while one of their cars will be on, and I'm like, is that their car? And I'll like memorize it. I like put myself in Moscow, Idaho, where I'm like, whose car is that? Okay, it's small, it's white. I can't tell if I'll sometimes take a picture just in case. I'm like, just in case cops knock on the door. Like, did you happen to hear anything around 4 a.m.? I'd be like, no, I saw something. How about that?
How about that? I know. And I have an
escape. So I'm like very aware, but I love the survival stories too, because you learn stuff. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm going to do what that girl did in that situation.
There's going to be those of you listening and who aren't into either podcasts or either true crime. And I get it. Like that's, you know, I'm not into flying model airplanes. So cool. You guys are on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, everywhere. People are the worst, hosted by Rachel and Rebecca, who have joined us this morning. What an absolute treat. Thank you so much
for this. This is incredible. South Africa, we love y'all. Y'all are like,
we love y'all.